We find ourselves with our Lord in Bethany, just in the week before Palm Sunday, which of course is next Sunday. And I was particularly struck just by the second line in the Gospel about Mary. Mary, this woman, Mary, who had anointed the Lord with ointment and had wiped his feet with her hair. St. John says that this is Mary is the one who had done that. Yet it's in the following chapter, chapter 12, that we read about that happening. That this woman who wipes the feet of Jesus' feet with her hair, having anointed those feet. This same woman we read about in the Gospels of Mark and Luke, in the house of Simon the leper, or Simon the Pharisee, in Bethany. And the same one, and she is the same one, of course, who sat at Jesus' feet, Jesus visited the house on another occasion, when Martha complained that Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet and not helping serving. And then in today's gospel, we read again how Mary, when eventually she goes out to greet our Lord as he is coming into Bethany, falls at Jesus' feet. She seems to have a thing about falling at Jesus' feet. Very beautiful disposition of the heart, of worship, of a friend. I mean, Jesus loved this family very much, as we read in the gospel today. Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. It's interesting that John makes a point of stating that. This was a home where Jesus loved to visit. So Mary, obviously, she loved deeply. Clearly, from the other accounts of the gospel, we learn that she had been forgiven much. That's why she showed so much love. She was a contemplative, because she just loved hearing, listening to the word of God. She stayed behind, whereas Martha was the active one to go out and greet our Lord. And Martha had to go and send word to Mary, he's calling you, come on. Which is a very good disposition to have, to wait for the Lord to call. Because she'd been rescued also, like her brother who was lying dead in the tomb. She actually obviously had been rescued from the death of sin. And so she loved our Lord so much because of the great outpouring of love that he, the Master, had lavished upon her. This home that Jesus loved to visit, this Bethany, means a home of welcome on the one hand, but also a house of affliction is another meaning of the word. And we don't know much about the family, but clearly there probably was a lot of affliction there in one way or another. And maybe that's why our Lord chose to visit them particularly, and why he had a special love for them, which is something that we can take consolation from. Our Lord enters into our afflictions. Our Lord enters into our sorrows. Our Lord enters into our woundedness, our anxieties. Our Lord is there. Our Lord enters even into right where our sin is. And he's there with us, and he loves us particularly, maybe, when we're struggling against those elements of our lives that we find difficult, particularly when it's sin and vice. But it could be insecurities, it could be things that have happened to us in the past which prevent us from being co-workers with our Lord, because our Lord went to Bethany in the Gospel today to work the great miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. Martha even had to tell him, look, he's been there for 4 days. There'll be a terrible stench. But our Lord was not put off. And what did he do? He went to the tomb and he asked others to help him. He asked others there, remove the stone. And then he called Lazarus out. And Lazarus came out covered with his bandages, and our Lord commanded others again to help loosen, to untie Lazarus so he could walk freely. And those co-workers of our Lord, those people whom our Lord asked to remove the stone and to unbind, are you and me. Our Lord is calling us to help others remove the stones, remove the blocks to faith in their lives. To remove the stone of the tomb of death, which represents those who are caught in error and deep sin and spiritual death. They do not have the Holy Spirit. You and I have that beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord is asking us to help him help others rise from that way of life by removing the stones, by unbinding them, so that they can walk freely. And this man, Lazarus, in the tomb, is one who stands for all the catechumens who have been subject to the darkness of error and sin. And Adrian is going through the third of his scrutinies today. He has, like the catechumens, maybe he didn't even know it, but he's been in error. He's been in darkness. He's been in the way of the flesh. He's not had the life of the Spirit. And you and I, parishioners, and particularly those who have been involved in his instruction and his sponsor and great, wonderful friends, have been those co-workers of our Lord, helping to remove the stone, helping to unbind him so that he can have the life of the Spirit and then walk freely and himself be a missionary. You know, we're talking, aren't we, about this rescue mission. Our Lord rescued Lazarus from physical death to show his power over death and sin. But for us, it's a symbol of the miracle of raising souls from death to life, to the life of the Spirit. And this family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus became a missionary family. We know that they went to France, and there's a shrine there of pilgrimage. I'd love to go sometime, where they are venerated, because they were great apostles and missionaries there. And so we are called to do the same, and indeed all the catechumens who will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and on the Easter Vigil when they're baptized and confirmed are called to do the same as well. And they will face the same as Lazarus faced, because if we read on in the Gospel, we find that the Jews and the authorities there not only wanted to put Jesus to death, but because so many people were finding faith in Jesus because of Lazarus, they wanted to put Lazarus to death as well. And so that's what we encounter when we become Christians and truly missionaries. We'll find that there'll be opposition to us as well. And if you're not aware of the opposition, I don't know what country you're living in, because there's plenty around, even here. Although if we want to read the headlines of the church throughout the world, we'll find severe persecution, particularly in Nigeria at this time. But here you and I are being persecuted. I hope you realize that. If you don't, you need to wake up, all right, and start praying. So anyway, so we're called to be missionaries as well. So on that note, I'm going to return to something very practical. Finally, we have a parish financial report for you. And it's taken a lot of work, a lot of effort has gone into it. I'm very grateful for both staff and volunteers for making this report what it is. I hope you'll find it interesting, but you can read all about it, as it were. But the bottom line is, dear brothers and sisters, that we are not gaining sufficient income to meet the needs of the mission. We are spending more year after year on the mission than we are getting in. Now, our main source of income is what you and I give. And this is the case in both here, Our Lady of Perpetual Help and St. Philip Benizi. Very helpfully, someone worked very hard to produce these little pie charts. Okay, you'll see on Our Lady of Perpetual Help that 78% of income comes from the offertories. In other words, what you give each week or each month or however frequently you give, when you put it in the plate or when you have the banks send the money to the parish's bank accounts. So the majority of our income depends on what you and I give. There are other things as well, fundraising activities, some bequests and gifts very gratefully received. But ultimately, it's down to you and me to provide what is necessary for the mission. So income is not meeting expense. Expenditure is necessary for the mission. It's very difficult to see how we can cut that without curtailing the mission. There are souls to save right here and now. We can't just keep the money in the bank. Thankfully, there is some there. We can't just keep it in the bank for a later day when we've got people here who we need to shout out like our Lord did, come out. Come to this life of grace that we want to share with you. So today, dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to make sure that every one of you, every household, takes one of these parish financial reports and studies it. But more importantly, for every one of us to pray about what our Lord is calling us to give at this time. And bear in mind, our income has to increase. So basically, are you called to increase your giving at this time? Maybe you're maxed out and you can't. And if our Lord confirms you in that, be at peace. But maybe our Lord is suggesting to you that this mission is so important that you, I, need to increase our giving. This work that we do here, I'll make bold to say, is the most important work that is done on the planet. There are many good causes out there, you know, to cure illnesses, to environment and all that kind of thing. But you know, illness is going to be with us all the time. We're never going to eradicate that. And of course, the big thing is death. We're all going to die. So we can pour lots of money into seeking cures for this disease, that disease, and the other, which of course improve people's quality of life and can be very, very beneficial and very good. On the other hand, we cannot cure death except by our Lord's resurrection. And that's why we have to be missionaries to call people to the life of the Holy Spirit. All right, so that we do not live so much concerned about the life of the flesh, but really live the life of the Spirit, and we ultimately to get souls to heaven. I'd also like to mention the possibility of bequests, since they do appear in the booklet. We don't get that many, although of course people are dying, but we don't get many bequests. And again, thinking that this is the most important cause that there is, the cause of souls, I'd ask you to think about really remembering your parish in your wills. I can tell you that in my will, every parish that I've served at is remembered according to the amount of time I've served at that parish. Why would I do that? Well, because basically you're the ones who enable me to live and breathe and, you know, and because you provide my living. So whatever's left, you know, if there's anything left, is going to come back. All right, to serve the mission here at Our Lady of Perpetual Help and in Cottage Grove and at St. Philip Benizi and my previous parish as well. They'll all get something because it's important. And as well as the giving that one is giving now. So I ask you to please consider that, you know, those of you who already at that stage of life where you should have already have made your will, please consider that as well. So I leave that. There's a helpful table here you can look at if that helps you to discern how much you should be giving at this time. I'm also happy to announce that at last some of the envelopes have arrived. I think the monthly contribution envelopes, I've got it right this time, thank you Joan, I got it wrong last night. The monthly envelopes have arrived. So you can collect these as you leave if you have monthly envelopes, or if you'd like to have monthly envelopes. Weekly envelopes, hopefully, will arrive soon. but nothing is preventing you from giving using the envelopes in your pews. Or there's online giving. Have your bank send a check directly to our bank. Costs you nothing. I find that a great way of giving personally. So no money goes to PayPal or other institutions. Just goes straight from my bank to the parish through bill pay. It's a very, very practical way of giving. And of course, your weekly giving, spontaneous giving as the Lord calls you. This is all in the cause of helping souls come to life in Christ. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, who is breathing within each one of us, to inspire us so that we can be more effective members of this rescue mission to which we have all signed up.